In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, we are in chapter 17, which is entirely that Jesus is saying on behalf of his disciples. And within that, he's praying for all sorts of things. But the most important piece for us, I believe, today is this portion that we're picking up, and the reason we're picking this up is we're looking towards Pentecost and this indwelling of the Spirit of God, which we celebrate. And in chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus asks us in to his prayer for his disciples. So if you've been working your way through the church all these years, however many years that may be, or just the last 3 minutes or so, this who are disciples. This isn't just 12 people. The disciples are those who are disciplined in learning and understanding and following Jesus. Amen? Yes. This is something we need to really grasp. I think it's one of those things we hold on to, isn't it? Wow. That makes life a little different, doesn't it? So maybe we don't. You should, because Jesus wants it. These, meaning the 12, but of those who will believe in me through them. Which by the risen Lord at some point, and he spoke directly to you in some way, an amazing thing. I just sort of, if he ever spoke to me, I'm not sure what I would do. I'd probably be shocked and then eventually grateful. That would save us me trying to sort out what's of God, what's of Brian, right? So, it is the word written by those who have before me, those who walked with Jesus and recorded what they saw and what they heard, those who picked up immediately in the early church and went teaching the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And somebody put it into this handy book in for me to use today. So here we stand with the word through the church. Amen. This is how we know what we know. The church did that for us. The church still does that for the world. It's us included in this incredible prayer. The one being sent, the ones being protected, the ones Jesus is praying over. We are being prayed over by Jesus today. And it is about one. And in this particular passage, we hear this phrase. It's a word, actually, I want to say. We use this word. And we use it all the time. And it's just a little one. In. We hear it throughout verse 21. That they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us. Okay. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory you have given me, I have given them so that they may be one as we are one. Something happening here, isn't there? We hear this in. Now, I happen to know from my training, and especially when you're in Greek, ancient Greeks, they keep using a word over and over again. You should probably know what they mean. So what does in really mean? I mean, I have to be honest for a second. I had to stop and go, well, that's a word I don't think I ever thought I needed to look up. You ever thought you needed to look up in? In. He's not talking about us. That's why they come near us. He's talking about in us. In. Inclusive might be a way in which you might hear that. Including might be another way in which you hear it. It's beyond knowing somebody, being in them, being Jesus is in God and Jesus, and we are in him. And he is in us. As Episcopalians, we take this so seriously, we use it in our Eucharistic prayers, that we may be one. It's not how we can't be together. It's all being together. And he's insistent on it. And what is this really about? As he goes forward in verse 23 through 24, it continues to pick up. And I shared the glory you have given me, so that we are, meaning Jesus, in one being. And we're supposed to be in that with God. And you in me, that they may become completely one. Completely one. So that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me, even as you have loved me. This is starting to sound like a lot. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. The glory that Jesus will have when he reigns in his kingdom. And he wants us to be with him in that kingdom. When I say us, I don't mean the people sitting in this room or watching online. He means us, all created beings. This desire to be included matters. I suspect each of us at some point have experienced what it means not to be included at some point in your life. Amen? Maybe just me. Well, I'll say this. As a little boy, a young child, I don't know what age, but we lived down the street from a park down in Sarasota, and we'd go down there. And, it had tennis and basketball, and then there was a churchyard across the street, and we went over there and played football and baseball and ultimate frisbee, which ultimately became the place where I could be included. But shockingly, as we stood next to the basketball court, and this may be stunning to some of you that are a little bit younger than I, or maybe substantially, we didn't join a team. We used to just go to the park. People would get pick teams. Does anybody have experience? Now, this is going to stun you, I know. But when we went to the park to play basketball, I was not the first choice. I can't tell you why. As I was just missing the prerequisite. And shockingly, if you can believe it, I was even shorter then. So that was just a little, I don't really feel included moment. But then I reached the reality of, well, if I'm picking teams, I certainly wouldn't start with the shortest guy that's standing for basketball, would you? No. That's just a little thing, but it gives us a little taste of what it feels, and maybe that's happening, maybe not because you're short, but you just didn't feel included. And then when you go through life, and certain things happen to us in our lives. People maybe treat us in a particular way, and it becomes pretty clear we're not included. Quite a few years now ago, when I was a youth leader, I was having a conversation with my youth group, and I realized to them the civil rights movement was ancient history, and that startled me. So people who were engaged in the civil rights movement who attended our church to come and speak to the youth. Tell them about it. They think it was a lot. You people are sitting right in the church. Come and tell them what your experience was. And he shared a story. He was a sergeant, I think. He was sergeant in the Army, and he served in the Pacific in World War II. And that became home. He came up to Florida, and he made it to what you all have heard of it, right? If you haven't, you should go there tonight. And then, but he couldn't get from St. Augustine to the little town he lived in, St. Augustine. They wouldn't let him on the bus because he was a black man. And he said the strangest thing, that it made sense at the time. Because immediately that sounds horrible, especially to the young people sitting in the room. And he goes, I was taught a long time ago by my mother, don't go where you're not invited. See, sometimes people are excluded in such a way they begin to lead a life accepting the fact that they are included. That was true when Jesus was walking, and it's still true today. And sometimes those people, even people like myself who feel excluded from time to time, not basketball, by the way, I have my own other pile of garbage that I carry around from time to time, but begin, you don't belong. You're not included. And need a good picture, but that would have been horrifying. My middle of my chain earrings hanging down as long as my and occasionally scratch the beard. Be so that just me. We know. And these other places, I can't me. And people in this world that feel that have had a taste of it from one time for some reason, or and that's really rough. I mean, I was a painter, right? So now, and then, you know, do ponytail, I'm filthy, and clothes, you know, you don't mind painting, right? This one, and across the street, so they didn't walk past me. And I've arrived. Restaurants and been refused service because of the way I looked. But here's the difference. How many of you suspected I had long hair half down the middle of my back and earrings and the rest of that? Most people see me all in black with a white collar, with my short haircut, right? I could change my outward appearance. I could change this identity that I claimed was not the identity that God had for me. Now, I can change the can conform. Be included. Not can do that because it's just not a possibility. It's not and close. It's different. And in Him, as Jesus is in Him, as Jesus is in us, we can be completely one. That's a different level. This including concept goes a very different direction for me today as I was in Him, in us, so that they can be in us and completely one. Sometimes we talk about things like that and the world goes, whoo-hoo, that's a pretty lofty goal. No, I believe it's a little more detailed commandment to love as He has loved us. What happens when people begin to build their own little world and their own little if they don't feel included, or a people group is afraid to be included? Sometimes people in the midst of that and just grow. And sometimes, and they do horrible things. Continuation of your life this morning at 8 o'clock, it becomes the stuff that keeps continuing. And brothers and sisters, listen. I and you in me, that they become completely one. Can you imagine sat and talked with a couple of our folks between services. And in our conversation, I said, yeah, the kingdom that Jesus is pressing us into today is not going to be separated. It is not going to have exceptions for the people that you want to be with. In fact, if God treats you the way he treats me, the person you can't stand the most is going to be right to you. That happens to me all the time. Why? Because I grow so to be more what God created me to be, to claim the that he has not pushed me to, or the one to go to the world. I'm going to be really honest. But the reality is God has put this desire to be included in us, just as he is included in the Father, so he may be completely one. I have to be honest. I'm not sure I get it. I think I get it. Now, God is speaking to me, and he's saying to me, the sooner my church, who has my generation, centuries down, pick it up, and you can hear God say to the church, sisters, the church needs to take the lead. The church needs to be reaching out to the world, so you are included. You, all of you, are included in this church. You know, I get to decide. Thanks be to God. I don't even want responsibility. God decides. And he says, come in. Come and be a part of the church. Come and join what it means to be in me, so that we can be completely one. So that this world can begin to look like the kingdom. We might as well get used to it. If you're struggling with the reality that we are one, and you think somehow you're going to walk into the kingdom and be cured of your thought process, I'm not sure that's true. It might be. But what if it's better for us to practice now? What if we should learn this thing that God has been telling us so clearly in his word and through the church, that maybe it's worth trying out today? So I would say, think back to maybe that moment. No matter how small and no matter how big your moment was, when you stood somewhere and said, I'm not included in this, I don't belong here. And remember how it felt or how it feels. And then I want you to open your eyes and I want you to look around and you'll know, because you'll see it in somebody else's eyes. Look in a mirror if you have to see what you look like, and then open your eyes and look for that. And go to that person and tell them the good news that we're hearing today. Not only is this what God wants, Jesus has prayed for it, which means he's prayed for you. And he says, you are in me. You are included. We are one, completely one. And we can just take it. And he finishes his prayer this way, Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know that you have sent me, these, the church. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Amen.